welcome to A Few Goldilocks Bears podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about things we love, things that we hate, and things in the middle. This could be things that we're indifferent about, that we're ambivalent about, that we're on the fence about. These are the gray areas of life. These are the things that aren't in the black and white, that they don't maintain to your precious polar opposites.
Oh, hello. This is Vincent Cloud.
I'm John Emmett.
And I'm David Lauer.
And, you know, instead of going into our loves and hates and indifferences, let's talk about old topic. Let's go back in the Wayback Machine and dig it up. This is a segment we call the Deja Fuse. Go ahead, John.
All right. I know that a fan favorite topic of mine was people blocking the bike lane. So I'm going to bring that one up again. However, it's been winter. We're finally into spring here now, but I didn't really bike over the winter. I was driving a lot, and people like park in just like lanes of car traffic too these days. And certainly you two can relate to that and feel some anger, but like, you know, like let's say you're driving down the road and there's like, you know, supposed to be two lanes going in a direction, and all of a sudden just somebody's parked there because they're delivering an Amazon package, or they're picking up someone in an Uber, or they're dropping off a DoorDash or whatever. And like all of a sudden, like everyone who's in that lane has to like somehow figure out how to merge into the other lane. Like how, like it's just infuriating that like people do that.
Yeah, not so much here in Eau Claire. I think for the most part, people are pretty nice here in Eau Claire. But we're almost a small town, sleepy little town in Maryland or something. You know, like this is where a murder would happen unsuspectingly on a sleepy little town. Yeah,
this is where all the neighbors would talk about how he always kept to himself.
Yeah, himself. how are things in, where are you? Oklahoma?
Oklahoma. Yeah, there's, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of stuff like that, but like on the street I live on, it's just like a regular small neighborhood with a bunch of houses that were, they're just one story houses that were built back in the 60s. So there's no sidewalks. You just have the street, and the street, it's basically, you can fit like three cars, so you can fit, but if people are parked out in the street and you have a car on both sides of the road, you can only fit one car to go down the street. So sometimes it's just like, oh, there's other cars coming towards you and other people can't go the other way. And it just bugs me because a lot of these, I don't know. I don't understand how many people are living in these houses, but why do some of these like two bedroom houses need four cars? Like they got three in their driveway and then they got another one on the street, or they got two in their driveway and two on the street. And I'm just like, why do you need this many vehicles? It's just, it's crazy to me. Cause I'm like, you should never be having more vehicles than the amount of bedrooms in your house. And when you have such a small house, I don't get why you have so many cars. And like, you have a garage. Nobody parks in their garage, like ever. It's just like driveway, street, whatever. And it's just a pain in the ass when you're trying to, like, I'm trying to turn onto my street, but I see there's cars coming at me that want to turn out, but I can't turn in because they're blocking my way. They can't turn out because there's cars coming the other way. And then we're just both standing there, just like sitting there, with nowhere to go.
I love Eau Claire because we're not too big and we're not too small. I love it. It's cozy. Although we are expanding slightly, so I don't know.
Aren't we all?
Oh yeah.
The thing about people not parking in their garage, like, I guess maybe it's different down there, but like in the Great White North, like if I have a garage, I'm using it. Like I've had to park outside before, and it sucks during the winter.
Yeah. Oh my God. Scraping the windshield when it's like really fucking cold and stuff. Yeah, I have a garage. I'm willing to pay that extra bit of money. Yeah. It's totally worth
Yeah,
it.
I like we always use a garage in the winter. The winters are mild here, but still, if there's gonna be frost on your car in the morning, park inside. Like it's way better.
All right, let's get the show started. Dave, go ahead, man, with a kickoff.
All right, I'm gonna talk about something that I'm kind of indifferent to. It's like celebrities or like well-known famous people that have like fake personas. And we've like touched on this a lot, but I just wanted to make it like a its own topic so we can all kind of like list a few people. And like I don't always hate it when like a celebrity has like a fake kind of persona to the public. Like all people kind of do it. It's called like code switching. It's kind of like the new term for it, where, you know, if you're around your friends, you act one way, but if you're around your parents, you'll act another way, or if you're at your job, you act a different way. So like there's like that little bit of it, which I understand, but then there's like certain celebrities who like go to the next level to like try to have a fake personality. Vince, you've talked about the UFC fighter Colby Covington.
Yes.
He has a fake personality and he says all this stupid stuff and it makes him seem like an idiot because he's just saying stupid shit to get a rise out of people because he wants people to be interested in talking about the ridiculous things he says. And there's a guy in a band Falling in Reverse. His name is Ronnie Radke. He's the lead singer of this band, and he is always like in the news, and people are talking about him because he will just start shit talking about someone or something, and it will become like headline news because it's like it's very clickbait like articles because he's talking smack. But the thing is like a lot of people don't realize that's like his gimmick. He just is doing this because it gets eyeballs, it gets clicks, it gets listens for his music. He just is acting this way. And like when you see someone doing that, like don't feed into it. Like that's my motto. Like I don't want to feed into it because I know what they're doing and it's not going to work on me. I'm not like just going to be like, oh, they said something outrageous. I'm going to, you know, act a certain way. Like I don't care. I'm indifferent to it. Like it doesn't matter to me because there's some people who have like a fake personality. There's like comedians, like stand-up comics, who have fake personalities, like Larry the Cable Guy. Larry the Cable Guy is, you know, this redneck guy, and he did like the blue collar comedy tour, and he's pretty popular. I don't know that he's really popular anymore, but he was popular like 20 years ago.
Say
And
the phrase, Bart. Get it
get
in.
done.
Yeah, there you
Yeah.
go.
But like if his name is not Larry, his name is like I don't know, it's something
Lawrence.
really Lawrence, yeah. And it's just like he's just like a regular guy with a regular voice and like he fakes the accent and he fakes the persona. And it's like, okay, like I get it, you're a comedian, but it's like Jeff Foxworthy, who was popular around the same time. He is who he is. Like, that's him all the time. Jeff Foxworthy is not faking that accent or anything about him. He seems to be genuine. So with Larry the Cable Guy, like I've never been able to really get into him because I just feel like he's faking it the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, with him, I heard something about how I don't know if he had other characters too, but like he would do stand up like in his normal personality, and then he'd do like this as like a character, just like as part of the thing, and found that people were reacting way better to that character to than to his normal act, and then just decided to adopt that persona completely.
That makes sense. I know, like, Avril Lavigne. I don't know her. I've never seen what she's like, but people have always said that when before she got famous, she was like a cutesy, like, pop star, like a Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera, but that wasn't working out. So then they're like, wait, what if we have you with black hair and eye makeup, make you a little more punk rock skateboarder girl? And then they came out with her, like her music producers kind of created this persona for her, and then she got really famous. Like, and so there's a new singer out there. Her name is She's gonna play at Rockfest this year, so that's why I know about her. But her name is Poppy. She was like a YouTube sensation like 10 years ago. She's been trying to make it in music for like 10 years now. She's 30, so she's been trying since she was 20. And she used to be a pop, and then she tried like more like a little more hip hop, and that wasn't working. And now over the last year and a half, she switched to being like metal or like death metal. And it's like she's just changing her personality, and like everything about her just screams fake. And I don't think like anything about her seems genuine at all. And like, I don't know, especially like in music, you kind of want to have a connection to the artist and think that they're real and they're not just like performing and just faking who they are. I don't know. What do you guys
And this
think?
Poppy person, I imagine it's the same person I'm thinking of. I don't know, like 10 years ago I won, or maybe not that long ago, I won this like VR headset thing at a conference, and I was like on YouTube looking for VR videos, and there was like a weird video of, I think it was her, it was like Poppy pops bubbles or something like that, and it's just like this creepy girl being like, oh, do you look at the bubbles, and then you're like in this 3D thing with like bubbles around you, and it was like really awkward and weird, but I
Yeah,
think it's the same person probably.
that's definitely her. There's like weird conspiracy theories online about how like she's like a weird psyop and a plant, and like they're just trying to see like how they can make anyone famous and popular or viral. Like their content can be like so bad, but they'll still get 4 million views on YouTube somehow.
Fucking
I mean, I
crazy.
watched that video, so I don't know. Could be. I mean that, but the, like, if the algorithm is just feeding it to everyone who goes on YouTube, if you search something generic like VR video and it gives it to you, like, yeah, I don't know.
Where do you guys place, in terms of comedians that's not the real persona? Triumph, the Insult Comic Talk.
Well, he's obviously playing a character because he's a puppet.
Okay, but then you have Bobcat Goldthwait. He became very popular because he was like, I can't do the fucking voice. I can't do it. It's really hard. Yeah. But like that wasn't his real voice, and he created a persona and stuff. Same with Gilbert Gottfried. Like, I think Gilbert Gottfried's funny, even though his persona is fake, you know?
Yeah, he's got the weird. I never knew that voice was fake until after he died. So, like, he held down that gimmick so well. I had no idea.
Yeah, no
Yeah, and
shit.
it sounded like he would hold it down even like just amongst his peers, even when like they weren't on stage or whatever,
What?
he would do it. And every once in a while, like let it slip and
Yeah,
just
he would be
like
like
talk normally
on.
to someone, but
Yeah, he'd be like on Jay Leno. And he would tone it down a lot. So you're like, oh, okay, he just amps it up for his act, but you could he was just toning it down to like a 6 out of 10, and then for his performance, it cranks it up to a 10.
okay, so I heard that Jeff Goldblum created that person, his personality, his delivery, out of what, I don't remember what movie it was. Maybe it was Invasion of the Body Snatchers, I'm not sure. But he was like, he was getting flustered and he couldn't remember his lines, so you know, he's doing the Goldblum thing, and the director's like, do that again. It's like, why would you want me to, you know, like he started to do his Goldblum thing, and from then on he's just like, oh, that's my thing. So that's a whole, I would say that's a person, you know, persona, right? I mean, because that's how he acts
Perhaps
like in real life. He's like, ah, oh, yes, interesting, you know, like he does that in real life.
he was in the movie Wicked recently, and he was that exact same person. I'm like, oh, he's not even acting, he's just being himself.
Yeah,
But apparently, himself, he's not even himself.
Yeah, I think
So.
that's the thing. And then, okay, I've always been bothered by this. Jennifer Lawrence, and now for the, oh, I'm just a normal girl sort of thing. Like, she always does that. Like, it's never brought up in interviews, but, you know, ask her anything. She's like, oh, my favorite color is this because I'm just normal, you know, I'm just a normal, regular person, you know, I'm, you know, like she's constantly like just doing that. And it's like, no one asked, motherfucker. Like, stop selling yourself as this person. And like people say when she tripped in the Oscars, that was all fucking planned, you know? Like, oh, she's lovable and klutzy and she's so normal. It's right. Normal people trip. So dumb. Hate that.
Well, that's just a funny movie trope, like not like funny laughing at it being ridiculous, how like they always take like the insanely attractive woman, but she'll be clumsy. So it's like, oh, she's not like she's approachable, she's clumsy, you know.
Yeah. Do you guys know about Joe Bob Briggs?
No.
No.
Damn it. Oh my God. That was going to be a future love, Monster Vision. Anyways, he's, you know, he, with a name like Joe Bob, he talks like that. He's from Texas and stuff, but he's admitted, like, this is not my real name. He hasn't quite said, this is not my real voice, but I feel like that's been out there, put out there. Okay, but finally, though, I do want to include Anthony Jeselnik. That's not his real personality. He's not really that awful, you know, but he's still hilarious. So I want to put that out there. Yeah.
Yeah, his like he's definitely like I don't know. I compare him a lot to like Daniel Tosh because when they're like in their comedic zone, they will go like they're super like offensive and like oh shit, like shock value funny. But like there are times I've seen Anthony Jeselnik on a podcast where he's relaxed and he's not like acting that way. But if you watch like an hour stand-up special, he's that crazy person the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess maybe one thing that's weird is yeah, when they don't drop the act ever. So like yeah, like go ahead, do your stand-up routine as your persona, but then just like be a chill, normal person when during interviews and stuff, but I don't know, maybe that would ruin it for like it bothers me less for stand-up comedians, I guess, but I guess even then, like you know, I'm thinking compared to musicians, you know, like you want to believe that your musician actually likes the music that they're playing, and when they've like adopted a fake persona, it just makes it feel like, oh, like do they even enjoy the music they play? Do they like what they're doing, or did they just choose it because like, oh, this was the way for me to get famous? Whereas I feel less that way with a like a stand up or something. Even the actors, like yeah, like the Jeff Goldblum thing is kind of interesting now, you know, if the origin of it is just like something that happened in a movie, and then like that is his persona during interviews and stuff too, kind of. So, makes you wonder.
Okay, do you count Bob Dylan? Because that's not the way he speaks, you know, like that's he, that, like that accent and stuff. Like if you get him talking, he just sounds like, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, I'm Bob Dylan. But yeah, when he's singing, it's a totally
I had no idea.
Oh, really? Oh, shit. Not even Timothy Chalamet would get you into the theaters. I have to watch that Bob Dylan movie.
I do want to watch it just because of Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
He was great as Wonka, so I mean, I want to see him as Bob Dylan. But
Wonka.
the thing is I'm not really into Bob Dylan's music that much, so like, I've in no hurry to watch it. But you guys, or what were you gonna
Oh, real quick, Jack Black. That's a persona. He's not like always pissed off at Kyle and shit like that, you know? Like he just
What?
But
Well, maybe these days.
I can, yeah, exactly. But I consider that a Oh yeah, that kind of goes back to like when I don't consider them the same people, the actor and the musician, because Jack Black, that's a performance the whole time. Yeah. Go ahead though, Dave.
I was gonna say, like, another comedian is Bert Kreischer, who's known for being like a party guy. He's got like a big beer belly and he takes his shirt off.
Oh, that
And
dude. Oh my gosh.
yeah, and like, he's talked about it on his podcast where he's talking about, he's like, I fought against becoming this caricature of myself because he's like, when I first got famous, that's what people knew me for, the drunk guy who took his shirt off and is kind of a slob looking. He's like, I didn't want to be that anymore. But when I stopped doing all that stuff, all of my fans went away and nobody was interested in me anymore. But then if I took my shirt off again and started acting like the crazy drunk guy again, then people were more interested in my stuff. And he's like, I have to do it. Like, I have to be this character. And it's weird because he doesn't want to do it, but he kind of does it out of necessity. Like, he has to sell out and he's kind of become that person. And I wonder how much like his drinking, because he's an alcoholic, it seems like. And like, how much he didn't want to do this, but he kind of felt forced to in order to be like a successful stand-up comedian.
Ooh, one more comedian, Tommy Chong. That's not, he doesn't actually talk like that, man.
Are
Hey, man. Yeah, he doesn't talk like
you
that at all.
sure? Are you sure?
Going back to like Tenacious D though, like that's an interesting one. Like a lot of like the metal bands and stuff, like, I don't think they're actually worshiping Satan on their off time.
Okay, yeah.
But
Yeah,
like,
Alice Cooper, right?
yeah. But
Ozzy
like,
Osbourne.
right. But I don't take that like, okay, that's just like a fun stage thing to do or whatever. Like, I don't take that as like, oh, they don't actually like their music. Like, they still, I'm sure, like the music that they're playing and enjoy it, but they're like, that whole like metal whatever persona is different.
All right. Segue challenge.
I mean,
Let's be
yes.
real finally, huh? Let's all take the mask off
Let's
and
admit
reveal.
we didn't enjoy this topic and be
Yeah.
ourselves.
All right. Okay, I have a love. I still love Goosebump artwork. You know what? And background, we try to record this. This is the second time. So I was like worried about it. Like, well, I don't want to repeat myself. So I did notice some new things, I think. But I'm going to start off with just why I like them in general, the broad strokes, if you might say. So, first of all, the books, you'll have the picture of whatever it is the story is going to be about. But it's the picture itself is surrounded by what is the slime, you know? The slime is over the outline of the book, and then the Goosebumps itself is has texture. It's bumpy and stuff. So that was always just cool, especially for a kid, just like processing the world and stuff. Great angles. You could be very intimidated because you'll be low and the creature will be above you or something. And it'll do other things like you'll be high up with that creature and you'll get a sense of, like, oh my gosh, I'm really high up and stuff like that. So that's really cool. Lots of fisheye lens to kind of warp the surroundings and then make you focus on the creature, whatever it is. That's really effective. And then one thing, hardly. People don't tap into this enough, using sunsets as like the background for creatures and these horrible things. Because for some reason, I feel sunsets are a little bit more uncertain than it just being night already. I don't know why, but I feel like people should tap into that. My favorite overall book cover is The Haunted Mask. The story itself is very good, but that's where the little girl and she has like the horrifying fanged green mask. I love that. I would totally buy these books just to look at these covers all the time because they're just great, amazing colors. I have some stuff written down about specific books, but I'm gonna pass that. I will have to say, oh my gosh, I've noticed this. A lot of uses of orange and teal, orange and these blues, that actually will eventually become the go-to standard for movie posters. Like, not so much now, maybe that's kind of finally fading out, but like Avatar would use that. Jumper would use that. The Bourne movies, Bourne Legacy and shit like that would use orange and teal. And that was really interesting. Like on my second look about this thing.
Yeah, those were always done because if you look at a color wheel, like orange and blue is on like opposite ends, so it's like very contrasting colors. So like just how the blue and the orange contrast each other so well, it just became a thing, and then it caught on like wildfire, where every freaking movie poster would be those colors.
Yeah, I eventually got old. I'm glad we're out of that. But I also have to mention something legal about the art. It's actually really hard to get a hold of those books if I wanted to collect them. And I really think I want to. Something about the art can't be replicated in the new Goosebump books. It's all redone. So I'd have to go back and like pay probably more for one of those old books. But yeah, what do you guys have to say about Goosebump artwork?
I definitely loved Goosebump books when I was a kid. As we've discussed, I'm not a very visual person, so I was definitely more into the stories at the time, and like kind of looking through some of the covers as research for this, I kind of remember them, but not a ton, with the exception being the Night of the Living Dummy. For whatever reason, that one kind of stuck with me. Were you saying before that, like, is there artwork beyond the cover in Goosebumps books, or
Like in
is
the
it only the
back
covers,
or inside? No, there's no
or
pictures
just like,
inside.
oh, okay, yeah, okay, I didn't remember that. Okay. But yeah, the one you talked about, the Haunted Mask, that one definitely comes up in kind of the best covers list. And there
Sweet.
seems to be like one guy, Tim Jacobus, who did like a lot of like the really iconic ones. Like the one with the slime going down the stairs, the monster blood one, the living dummy one. There's one where there's like somebody, it's like a skull just like above the surface of the water.
That is the scariest one by far, to me. I don't even like looking at it. It's so freaky.
The Curse of Camp Cold Lake. Yes. But yeah, these are great. And it's like, like from what I remember of the stories, I think these covers are a lot creepier than a lot of the stories actually turned out to be, being the age range that they were written for.
Yeah, for sure. Dave, did you collect these?
Oh yeah, I remember we'd get like go to the Scholastic Book Fair, and you'd get that like paper, and you take it home, and you're like, "Mom, how many books can I get?" And you check them, like, "Oh, there's a new Goosebumps book." And like, I remember it being like they would have certain ones in the library at school, but then you would look in that Scholastic flyer, and you would see like, "Oh, there's three more," and they would have like the month of the release on there, and because like you didn't have the internet to like look up release dates, so like to find out like when a new book was coming out, it was crazy. And you're like looking at like Bad Hair Day, like what the hell does that mean? Like, or, that's what I imagine I would think at the time. But yeah, like these books were so freaking iconic and I love them like in fourth grade. Like they don't really hold up over time, but the artwork was really a huge selling point. Like yeah, the letters on the books, the way that they're bumped and raised, it was really cool. Like some of the ones I loved, like I know exactly the books I read because I can say the title of it, and like I vaguely remember some of the stories, like The Monster Blood and Say Cheese and Die, Stay Out of the Basement. That was one of my first ones I think I read. One Day
Wow.
at Horrorland. Like, and then I remember like the Abominable Snowman in Pasadena or something, and I didn't like that one. I was just like, no. He lives in cold climates, not in California.
Not
You can't fool me.
buying it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of crazy stuff. I'll, set aside my disbelief, but not for that.
Oh man, I really like the you said One Day at Horrorland. That's an amazing cover. Like that monster's like kind of peering over the sign or whatever. It's great. He kind of uses that again for How to Kill a Monster, where you just see the hands. I'm like, yawn, seen it, you know. One Day at Horrorland. I also have to throw a great shout out to You Can't Scare Me. That's with the mud monsters coming out of the swamp. I just love all the orange and browns, and man, like they really knew how to appeal not just to the kid, but to me still. Like I don't think it's nostalgia. I think these are great works of art. There's the also awesome image of Return of the Mummy, because in the first one it just showed a mummy with red eyes, and I'm like, all right. But then in the second one, it's this awesome sarcophagus, and you can see it open up, and you just see the arm, and then there's like these long green like scent waves coming out, so you just know it fucking smells, and it's old and ancient. So much better than that first cover. That's crazy. Just a lot of imagination and trying to get your point across in the covers as well. It's very good. Shocker on Shock Street, giant silver mantis on the street. I remember I was so stoked for that book, and at the time was like one of my favorite. Segue challenge. Should wait, is that blood, or is that turn the page to the next chapter? Because they always end on
I'm
cliffhangers,
not
right?
sure.
Yeah, turns out it's just a segue. Yeah,
No.
go ahead, John, for
All right.
closers.
I hate gatekeeping where basically you have groups of people who are fans or interested in something. And like other people like say I'm interested too, but then like the original people tell the new person how like, oh, you're not a real fan of that thing. And like this happens a lot less to me now. I think just to some degree people kind of grow out of it and just become more accepting of stuff. But it definitely used to happen. Like I used to I brought up the topic of the Linux operating system one time, and like I feel like gatekeeping is a real computer nerd thing to do. It's like, oh, really, you like Linux because you use that easy version that's that's easy to install. I use the version that's like old school and really you have to be smart to use it. And or like I guess there's a lot of one-upsmanship with gatekeeping too. It's just like, oh, you're into muscle cars. Like my car is like faster and better or whatever. It's just, I don't know. It just seems like a really like, knee-jerk reaction thing that people do when you're trying to relate to them. And it's like with all kinds of stuff, it's like you see it with like literally anything, like the English language, like UK people will talk about how like, oh, this is how you speak English or whatever. And it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's people all over the world speaking English in different ways. And it's just like a impulse that's very annoying to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The first thing I thought of was when girls started to get into go to Comic-Con and stuff, and like the guys would be like, "Yeah, name,
Oh,
whatever,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know." And it's like, dude, you guys finally have women around. Why do you want to act that way? You know, like I always thought that was so dumb, so illogical, you know. Like if maybe if I would have dressed up as Spock, I could have told them it was illogical. Yeah, I always felt that was so weird. And like, you don't want to be the asshole. Like you see a girl wearing a Pink Floyd shirt and you're like, name three songs. You know, you don't want
Yeah,
to be that
and
person
like
at all.
music is a huge one for that. Like, oh, really? You like punk rock, but like those bands are they're too pop punk or whatever. And like, it's I have the real definition of what punk rock is.
What do you guys say, Dave?
Yeah, I felt that way a lot. Just talking like downtown on Water Street, drinking at the bar. If I would go to like the joint where there's like a bunch of hipster people, the hipsters would always be super gatekeepy with music, where they're like, "Oh, you like the White Stripes?" I'm like, "Yeah, I love the White Stripes. They're great." But then they start naming off these other like punk bands that I have no idea what they are. And they're like, "Well, you're not really a fan of that type of music if you don't listen to this stuff too, Like, okay. And just
You're like,
everything was
never, never
like,
said I was.
yeah, I was like, I mean, I like the White Stripes, but like, oh, they're sold out, they're mainstream, And then
All
like people who
correct.
talk and like it happens with video games too, where people are like, "Oh, are you a PC gamer? Oh, you only play Xbox? That's not, you're not a real gamer if you play consoles. You have to be a PC gamer." And the same thing with like, "Oh, you only play on handhelds or like mobile games, so you're not a real video game player." And it's like there's tons of different ways you can play video games, and like, I don't know. It's people just want to like put all these like, "Oh, you're not legit unless you've done it the same way I've done it," and I don't know. It's super annoying.
Wow. You know what? There's been gatekeeping in terms of like like, oh, you're from this tribe? Like, yeah, I'm from this tribe. Like, well, do you know the language? You know, like they'll throw stuff at you like within our own tribe sometime. It's so stupid. It's idiotic.
People, we need to like look for our similarities, not search for the differences.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other stuff.
And the part of it, this is somewhat related, but the whole thing of like, what? You've never seen X movie? Like, and you just like kind of shame people because they hadn't seen something or heard of something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's useless. I mean, it's to me, it seems like you want more people to share your love, right? Why chase them away? That's, but then again, John, you're like, yeah, maybe you just grow out of it. Maybe that's a young man's thing, young woman's thing, you know? Like I don't really do that now. I don't know if I did then, but maybe.
I feel like some of it
Yeah.
kind of happens with people who like are hazing people, and they're like, "Well, you got to pay your dues. You got to do this and this. And I went through this, so you're gonna have to go through this." And they're like, "You're not gonna be like one of us until you've gone through this." Like people do that at jobs where they're like, "Oh, you're the new guy. You gotta take all this shit at the beginning. We all had to do that."
Not cool. Is that the show? Yeah. Is
Mm-hmm.
that it? We got our endings pre-recorded now, so I guess that's it.
That's it.
That is it. Tell them about the email, John.
Oh, well, like we're sick of coming up with our own topics, so get these lazy listeners and viewers to help us out a bit. So if you have something that you love, hate, or are indifferent to, send an email to topics at a few goldilockbears.com. We'll put a link in the show notes here and tell us what you love, hate, or are indifferent to and why. And maybe we'll talk about it on the show.